Whenever you watch a sci-fi movie and someone gets injured, there is always that inevitable scene in the medical bay.
Oh yeah, the classic glowing wand scene.
Exactly. The doctor pulls out this sleek, glowing device. They just sort of wave it over a horrific wound, and instantly, like absolute magic, the tissue just knits back together.
Right, it's completely immediate.
Yeah, it's flawless, and it requires, zero effort from anyone involved. I feel like we've been completely conditioned to think that highly advanced light-emitting medical technology is basically just a magic wand.
Well, it's the ultimate healing ray trope, right? We want the technology to just do all the heavy lifting in one single effortless pass.
Definitely.
And it's a super comforting idea, especially when we're talking about medicine. You just want the machine to fix it.
Right. But then you step into a real-world veterinary clinic today and you see them using actual lasers to treat our pets. And suddenly that whole sci-fi illusion just shatters completely.
It really does. It's a huge reality check.
Because you realize that having a device that shoots targeted light is maybe, I don't know, 10% of the actual equation. The rest is this incredibly complex web of cellular biology and, believe it or not, staff scheduling and human behavior.
Yeah, it's a massive medical reality check.
Yeah.
I mean, the machine sitting in the corner of the exam room might look like it's straight out of the future, but the clinical execution of that machine is very much grounded in the messy, chaotic reality of the present day.
And honestly, that is our exact mission for today's deep dive. Today is March 30, 2026, and we are looking at a really insightful clinical blog that was recently published by BaumVet.
Right, they're a major medical equipment provider in the veterinary space.
Exactly. And our goal today for you, the listener, is to kind of cut through all those flashy marketing buzzwords surrounding veterinary laser therapy. We want to figure out what this technology actually represents in a real functioning clinic.
It's a big shift from the marketing brochures to the actual clinic floor.
It really is. We're taking you on a journey from the raw science of light all the way to the totally surprising operational realities of running a vet practice. Okay, let's unpack this.
I love that. So to really get into it, I think we have to start by defining what we're actually talking about here, because the terminology in this space is notoriously messy.
Oh, it's so confusing.
It really is.
Yeah.
But based strictly on the BoMed clinical documentation we're looking at, veterinary laser therapy is defined as a non-invasive modality.
Okay, non-invasive, so no cutting.
Right, no cutting. It uses targeted light energy to actively influence cellular activity. And in a real clinical setting, it's primarily used for three distinct things:
Which are?
managing pain, reducing inflammation, and supporting tissue repair.
But the crucial part, and I noticed the BOMAG source emphasizes this really heavily, is that it is an adjunctive treatment.
Yes, that is so important.
It's not a standalone magic bullet. Like, you
Not
don't just
bad.
zap a dog with a laser once and send them home permanently cured.
I wish.
Right. It's meant to be integrated into a much broader, comprehensive medical or rehabilitation plan.
That's a vital distinction. But the funny thing is, if you talk to a lot of pet owners out there, or even if you just look at older marketing materials floating around the internet, you rarely hear it described with that kind of nuance.
No, you usually just hear one very specific phrase.
Yep. You usually just hear the term cold laser.
Ah, yes. The infamous cold
A
laser.
cold laser.
The BaumVet blog actually goes completely out of its way to call this an outdated shorthand, which I found super interesting.
It is outdated. Historically, it was used to differentiate these therapeutic lasers from surgical lasers.
The ones that literally cut or burn tissue.
Exactly. The ones that ablate tissue. So cold laser was basically just a marketing term meant to say, hey, don't worry, this laser won't burn your pet.
Which, I mean, I guess was a totally necessary reassurance at the time.
Oh, absolutely. But as the technology evolved and got more sophisticated, the terminology just didn't keep up at all.
I honestly have to push back on how useful that term actually is today, though, because to me, calling a modern, highly sophisticated medical device a cold laser, it's like calling my modern smartphone a non-mechanical typewriter.
That is a great way to put it.
I mean, sure, it technically describes what the device doesn't do. Like, my phone doesn't have mechanical typewriter keys,
Right.
but calling it that tells you absolutely nothing about its actual capabilities. It just lumps 1,000 wildly different devices into one completely useless category.
That's a fantastic analogy. And honestly, that's exactly why the source argues that the term creates massive confusion in equipment selection.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, because when clinic owners just call up their reps and ask for a cold laser, They're treating vastly different scientific systems as if they're completely interchangeable.
Rich, they are.
Not at all. A tiny, low-output handheld unit that a vet might, you know, use occasionally for a minor surface scrape, that is fundamentally and biologically different from a high-power, fully integrated system used for deep tissue orthopedic rehabilitation.
They're not even in the same league.
Exactly.
So if cold laser needs to be permanently retired, what is the actual scientifically accurate term we should be using instead?
According to the experts, the accurate framing is photobiomodulation equipment.
Photobiomodulation, wow. Try saying that 3 times fast.
I know, right?
I can totally see why marketers originally went with cold laser. It's way catchier.
It is a mouthful, but it's highly descriptive if we actually break it down.
Okay, break it down for me.
So photo obviously stands for light.
Yep.
Bio stands for life, or in this specific case, living cells. And modulation means it's actively regulating or changing the activity within those living cells.
So it's literally light changing the cell.
Exactly. It's delivering light at very specific wavelengths that interact with cellular components. And that directly influences their metabolic activity and their signaling pathways.
Okay, wait, let me make sure I'm really getting this. Because we're throwing around phrases like metabolic activity and signaling pathways.
Right.
How does shining a light on a dog's leg actually do anything beneath the skin? What's the actual physical mechanism happening inside the animal's body?
Okay, so think of it a bit like plant photosynthesis.
Oh, okay. But for animal cells.
Right, exactly. When a plant absorbs sunlight, it uses that light energy to basically create the fuel it needs to grow and repair itself.
Makes sense.
Well, with photobiomodulation, very specific wavelengths of red and near-infrared light actually penetrate the pet's skin and tissue.
Okay.
And those photons of light are absorbed by a specific receptor in the cell's mitochondria.
Ah, the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell.
Yes. The classic high school biology answer. It's the powerhouse.
So the light is basically what, feeding the cell's engine directly?
In a way, yeah. It really is. When that targeted light is absorbed, it stimulates the mitochondria to produce a lot more ATP.
And ATP is adenosine triphosphate, right?
Look at you. Yes, yeah. Adenosine triphosphate. ATP is the actual cellular energy, is the raw fuel the cell uses to function.
Okay, so by shining the right light, you're giving the cell more fuel.
Precisely. By drastically increasing that ATP production, you're essentially jump-starting the cell's natural healing process.
That is wild.
You're giving damaged or inflamed cells this huge boost of excess energy that they desperately need to repair themselves, reduce the local inflammation, and even clear out metabolic waste much faster than they normally could on their own.
Okay, that makes so much more sense now. It's not cutting anything, which is what non-ablative means, but it is actively stimulating a biological process.
Yes.
It's literally feeding the tissue the exact energy it needs to fix itself.
What's fascinating here is that this underlying physical mechanism, like the actual photons physically interacting with those mitochondria, is completely 100% dependent on human execution.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the biological mechanism is only as effective as the clinic's ability to apply a very specific set of variables correctly.
Oh, right. And the Baumind source actually lists those variables out. It's definitely not just flipping a switch on the wall.
Not at all.
You have the wavelength, first of all,
right,
which determines how deep the light actually penetrates into the tissue.
Crucial for getting to the right depth.
Right. Then you have the power output, which influences the total treatment time and the total amount of energy actually delivered to those cells.
Yep.
And then you have the application technique, the protocol selection, meaning the actual dosing accuracy, and even the specific type of tissue you're treating, because different tissues absorb light totally differently.
Exactly. And if a vet or a tech uses the wrong wavelength, or if they don't deliver enough power over enough time, the light simply doesn't reach the target tissue in any meaningful way.
So nothing happens.
Right. The mitochondria never get that photon stimulation, the ATP doesn't increase, and the treatment completely fails.
Wow. Which naturally leads us to ask, if this isn't a sci-fi magic wand that fixes everything instantly, what is it actually good for?
A very fair question.
Because, you know, since photobiomodulation relies on precise dosing over time to build up that cellular energy, which specific medical conditions actually benefit from this super methodical approach?
Right. It can't just be a blanket cure for literally everything that walks through the clinic door.
Exactly. So what's the sweet spot?
Well, it definitely isn't for everything. And the Baumaid documentation is very clear about where those clinical sweet spots actually are.
Okay.
The absolute highest clinical value comes from conditions that require repeated treatments. situations where you expect incremental, measurable improvement over a period of time.
The source actually lists some high-value targets here. Osteoarthritis is a massive one.
Oh, huge.
Chronic joint pain generally. Also post-operative recovery, particularly for intensive orthopedic procedures.
Which take a long time to heal.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also highly effective for soft tissue injuries, like severe muscle strains and ligament issues, and supporting really complex or slow healing wounds.
And even aiding in neurologic recovery for certain very select cases.
That's a pretty diverse list.
It is. But notice the glaring pattern in that list.
Mm.
Osteoarthritis, post-op orthopedic rehab, complex, slow-healing wounds. What do they all have in common?
They're long-term problems. They're not quick fixes.
Exactly. And this leads to a critical aha insight regarding the reality of clinical operations.
Oh, do tell.
The highest value for laser therapy, both medically for the pet's actual healing and operationally for the clinic's business model, is in chronic care and rehabilitation programs.
Okay, let me throw a hypothetical scenario at you then, just to test this.
Sure, lay it on me.
Based on this BOMIMED evaluation criteria, let's say I run a 247 emergency veterinary clinic.
Okay, ER vet.
Right. 90% of my patients are one-time acute trauma cases. A dog gets hit by a car, I stabilize it, I perform emergency surgery to save its life, and then I send it back to its primary vet for the actual long-term recovery.
Makes sense for an ER.
Am I going to see much value in buying one of these incredibly expensive photobiomodulation setups for my emergency room?
According to the source, no. You'd see very limited value compared to a standard general practice.
Really? Even for wound healing?
It's just that a clinic with a high proportion of acute one-time visits fundamentally clashes with what the technology does best.
Ah, because of the repeat visits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The entire model requires ongoing care relationships. If you can't get that patient back in your door for sessions 2, 3, and 4, you aren't utilizing the modality correctly.
Because you aren't giving the cells the sustained energy they need over time.
Right. You have to keep feeding those mitochondria to fully repair the tissue. One session just won't cut it for a major injury.
So it basically acts as a multiplier. Like, it doesn't replace the dog's joint medication or the orthopedic surgery itself.
Not at all.
It stacks on top of those primary treatments to accelerate and improve the healing process.
Exactly. But understanding who to treat reveals this massive, often totally invisible operational hurdle for these clinics. Yes. Because if you're treating chronic conditions that inherently require repeated visits, suddenly having the most expensive, state-of-the-art medical equipment in the world is completely useless if your clinic's workflow is a chaotic mess.
Yeah, treating chronic conditions requires strict scheduling. You need absolute consistency.
Workflow is the real bottleneck here.
It really is. Let's actually break down the equipment itself first, because the source draws a really stark contrast between lower output units and higher output systems.
They are very different beasts.
Right. So lower output units obviously deliver less overall energy. That means you need significantly longer session times just to get a therapeutic dose to the cells.
Sometimes way longer.
And they generally only offer really superficial depth penetration. So you're not getting deep into a hip joint.
Exactly.
They have a much lower initial cost, which is tempting, but they have severely limited throughput.
And throughput is the magic word in any medical clinic.
Oh, absolutely. Time is money.
Right. If it takes 20 to 30 minutes to treat one single dog's arthritic hips with a low-power unit, you can only physically see a handful of dogs in a day.
That's terrible for scheduling.
It's a nightmare. The machine ties up an entire exam room. It ties up a trained staff member for half an hour. And honestly, it frustrates the pet owner who's just sitting there waiting for it to be over.
But then you have the higher output systems, and they deliver higher energy much, much faster.
Right.
That translates to way shorter sessions, maybe just a few minutes per joint. And they have greater deep tissue penetration to actually reach those difficult joints.
They're designed specifically for high volume orthopedic and rehab use.
They definitely cost a lot more upfront, but they fundamentally change the math of the clinic's daily schedule.
They do, but, and here's the kicker, even if a clinic buys that high output system specifically to save time, they often fail anyway.
Because of human error.
Yes.
Yeah.
Human error and massive protocol misunderstandings. The BOMIMED blog points out that many clinics fall into this really common trap. They assume a one-protocol-fits-all cases approach, which we know from the biology we just discussed, absolutely does not work.
Right. Different tissues need different dosing.
Exactly. Or Even worse, they just use the device intermittently whenever they happen to remember it instead of systematically scheduling it.
Or, worst of all, they consistently underdose the animal.
Well, that happens all the time.
Like the vet tech is rushing because the waiting room is completely full, so they apply insufficient energy just to get the dog out the door.
Yep. And what happens?
The light doesn't reach the target tissue, the mitochondria never get stimulated, and the therapy does literally nothing.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Because you look at the market, and you see how smart equipment providers are actively trying to solve this human problem.
The human element is always the trickiest part.
Always. And the Bomi Mivet approach, detailed in the source, is a perfect example of differentiating yourself in a super crowded space.
How so?
Well, they don't just hand you a spec sheet boasting about the raw technical power of their laser.
Right, they aren't just selling watts and wavelengths.
No, they highly prioritize usability. They focus heavily on pre-programmed protocols, robust training support for the staff, and figuring out how the device actually integrates into the chaotic daily workflow of a busy veterinary staff.
They're almost treating the clinic itself as the patient, in a way.
That's a brilliant way to look at it.
Yeah.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, integration is entirely about operational discipline, not just machine capability.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bomed's whole positioning highlights that most adoption challenges in a vet clinic are operational, not technical.
Because the lasers work, the science is settled.
The science works, but it absolutely doesn't matter if your laser can output the exact perfect wavelength to stimulate ATP production.
Right.
Because if the clinic doesn't assign a specific, properly trained staff member to own the treatment process, or if they don't integrate the laser session smoothly into the existing appointment calendar,
then what happens?
That $20,000 machine will literally just gather dust in the corner of a back room.
Wow. The technology really has to fit the humans, not the other way around.
It always comes down to the humans.
The source actually says a functional workflow requires four things: defined protocols, designated trained staff, scheduling integration, and strict documentation.
And that operational discipline is also heavily tied to safety.
Oh, definitely.
Because let's say a clinic does everything right. They have the expensive high-output machine. They have a perfectly disciplined staff workflow.
The dream scenario.
Right. They still have to ensure physical safety. Because at the end of the day, we're still dealing with high-powered class IV lasers here.
Yes. We really have to officially dispel the myth that cold laser somehow means zero risk.
It does not mean zero risk.
The source explicitly states that just because a device is non-ablative again, meaning it doesn't instantly burn or cut the skin, that absolutely does not eliminate the risk.
Not at all. These are incredibly powerful light systems.
So what are the actual safety requirements?
Well, proper use requires a highly structured safety protocol as a non-negotiable baseline requirement. It's not just an optional precaution if you feel like it.
Right.
We're talking about mandatory eye protection for everyone in the room.
Yeah.
That means the veterinary staff and the animal patients.
I am just picturing a golden retriever sitting on an exam table wearing those specialized laser-blocking doggles.
Oh, the doggles are a real thing.
It is undeniably adorable to think about, but it's also incredibly serious medical safety.
It's very serious.
Oh.
The retinas, both human and animal, are highly susceptible to permanent damage from these specific wavelengths if you catch a stray reflection.
Yikes. Okay, doggles are mandatory.
Mandatory. Staff also have to strictly avoid direct exposure to sensitive anatomical areas like the thyroid gland or obviously the eyes, and they have to ensure the treatment environment itself is totally controlled.
Like no reflective surfaces in the room.
Exactly. Unintended exposure from a high-output system is a real physical safety issue if the staff aren't strictly adhering to the manufacturer's guidelines.
But you know what's really interesting to me?
What's that?
When you look at BomiMed's actual risk matrix for implementing this technology, like the chart of what's most likely to go wrong, the things they rank as having a high likelihood of happening aren't physical safety hazards or technical machine breakdowns.
No, the machines are generally very safe and reliable if used right.
Right. The most likely reasons for failure in their matrix are inconsistent clinical results and scheduling conflicts.
Which brings us right back to human behavior.
Always.
So how does the source suggest a clinic actually mitigate those highly likely operational risks?
Well, according to the matrix, you mitigate inconsistent results by rigidly standardizing your protocols.
Makes sense.
You stop letting every individual vet tech just guess the dosage based on how much time they have left before their lunch break.
Please stop doing that.
Right. You use the machine's extensively researched pre-programmed settings, and then You mitigate the scheduling conflicts by forcefully integrating the laser treatments into the core daily appointment flow. You don't just treat them as an annoying little add-on that gets awkwardly squeezed in between regular checkups.
There's also the risk of staff resistance, which the Matrix ranks with a moderate likelihood.
Oh, I could see that. People hate changing their routines.
Right. A new, complicated machine shows up in the clinic, and the staff just avoids using it because they're already overworked and stressed.
I don't have time to learn this.
Exactly. And that is mitigated by providing structured, ongoing training. If the staff actually understands the underlying cellular mechanism, like, if they really know they're actively helping the pet heal by stimulating that ATP production, they take actual ownership of the process.
Because they want to help the animals. That's why they're in the field.
Exactly. Which brings us to the final and maybe most important piece of the puzzle.
Let's hear it.
The ultimate deciding factor for whether any of this actually works in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
The pet owner. Client perception.
Oh, the client, right.
Because imagine you are the pet owner. You bring in your aging golden retriever. Let's call him Max.
Okay, good old Max.
You're worried about Max. He's limping. And you're spending your hard-earned money to help him. The clinic can have the absolute best machine, the perfect staff workflow, and the strictest safety protocols in the world. But if the clinic just vaguely waves a red light over Max's hip for 3 minutes and casually says, "All right, see you whenever," you are not going to bring Max back for session number two.
Definitely not. I'd feel like I got scammed.
Client communication is absolutely paramount here. The source makes a really profound point. Trust is built through clarity and consistency, not through flashy marketing language.
Pet owners have to be given realistic expectations right from day one.
Precisely.
So absolutely no promising them a sci-fi magic wand.
None. The clinic staff has to sit the owner down and clearly explain the biology.
Explain the mitochondria and the ATP.
In layman's terms, yes. They need to explain that this is a multi-session process, exactly like going to human physical therapy.
That's a great comparison.
The client needs to understand how the photobiomodulation actually fits into Max's broader treatment plan. That it isn't replacing his daily joint medication, but working right alongside it to feed his cells the energy they need to heal.
And most importantly, they need to know that the physical benefits will be observable, but they will happen incrementally over a period of weeks, not minutes.
Exactly. If a clinic just casually says, "Hey, we're going to use a cold laser to fix Max's hip today," they're setting themselves up for a furious client a week later when the dog is still limping.
But if they present it as a structured, evidence-informed medical service, one that actively requires a 6-week commitment of 2 sessions a week, they achieve much stronger client acceptance and compliance.
Right. And because of that compliance, Max actually gets the cellular energy he needs over time, and he actually gets better.
It all comes back to managing expectations and operational execution.
It really does. The base science of photobiomodulation is entirely sound. Delivering targeted photons to influence cellular repair and increase ATP is a proven, highly valuable biological mechanism. But the best biology in the world cannot overcome a bad clinic workflow or poor client communication.
So if we synthesize all of this, the core takeaway for you as you listen today is that the future of veterinary laser therapy is definitively moving away from an obsession with raw device specifications.
Yes.
The industry is moving strongly toward protocol-driven integrated care models. Consistency, whether that's in precise biological dosing, in strict scheduling, or in clear client communication, is the true driver of clinical success.
It's about treating the laser as a highly structured clinical service, not just some magical add-on.
I couldn't agree more. The most advanced, scientifically perfect laser in the world is only as good as the front desk's ability to schedule the follow-up appointment.
That is the ultimate truth of the medical business.
Which leaves us with a pretty provocative final thought to ponder as we wrap up today's deep dive.
Let's hear it.
If the success of a highly advanced light-emitting medical device in veterinary medicine ultimately relies more on staff scheduling, standardized human protocols, and clear client communication than the actual technology itself,
yeah,
what other miracle technologies in our own human healthcare system are succeeding or failing right now simply based on how a busy front desk manages a calendar?
Oh, wow. That is a terrifying thought.
Are there human patients out there entirely missing out on the life-changing benefits of advanced medical tech just because a hospital hasn't quite figured out its internal workflow?
I guarantee there are.
It's definitely something to think about the next time you see a sci-fi healing ray in a movie. It might knit the tissue instantly on screen, but off screen, somebody still had to book that medical bay appointment.
So true.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.